to preach. They cleared me 2 weeks ago, and then he saw me on Facebook and called me, and he said, "Brother, I'm Presbyterian, and I thought it would be all right. You need to hold off about another 2 weeks." So they cleared me today, and you know the Bible says that I've not given you a spirit of fear.
That's right.
But I'm still mindful of I am healing. But then Sister Lawson said she has a background in cardiology, so we all right. I guess we're covered. Amen. All right. So we're coming from Psalm 139, and I just wanna go back to the 13th verse, verse 13 and 14. In Psalm 139, it says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, and thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." It says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." It says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knows right well. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer." I pray that I don't bore you today, but I'm going to be quiet, and I'm going to follow the directives that have been given to me by the doctor. So I'm just going to talk with you, and then we're going to go on out of here. Is that all right?
All right.
Talking today on the subject of He Knows Me.
Amen.
And briefly before we get started, I just want to acknowledge the Browns. They are here with us today. I didn't think that y'all would be here. A couple days ago, where were y'all? In Jamaica, getting married. Amen. So God bless you, and we love you, and we pray with you and for you that what God has put together, amen, that you don't let anybody, anything, any place, any word, any demon get in between what God has ordained for the two of you. Amen?
Amen.
All right. He knows me. Is there anyone that knows that God knows you?
All right.
Is there anybody that is a witness to God that you can say that he truly knows me?
Yeah.
Amen. Are you glad that the Lord knows you?
Yeah.
Y'all gotta talk back to me today so I don't have to yell. Are you glad that the Lord knows you?
Yeah.
If I can just get two or three folks that are not ashamed to just say, "I know that God knows me." Amen. If I could just get two or three of you to just give God glory now and not wait till the end of the sermon to just tell God, "I'm thankful that you know me. I'm thankful that you love me. I'm thankful that even when I don't deserve it, you know me and you bless me anyhow." You ought to just tell God, "Thank you." Because he knows you and he loves you. And he understands you. Many years ago, there was a contemporary song entitled "Personal Jesus." The writer of this song made a very strong declaration. She said, "You are my personal Jesus." And the songwriter asks a rhetorical question: without you, where would I be? And then there is a Selah moment, and they pause in the midst of the song and thinks about, "I don't know why you love me in spite of what I do."
All right.
And then as the song goes on, a conclusion comes, and it says, "But I'm so glad you love me. You are a friend of mine. There is no one above you. You have always been by my side." Now, those lyrics are personal. You are my personal Jesus. And the case was stated and stuck to the whole song. And as us as followers of Jesus Christ, we have the right to declare that same thing, that you are my personal Jesus. Family, I can't speak about you or anybody in this sacred space. This space has been dedicated to worship, to praise, and to prayer, and to proclamation of the word. I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. Come on, y'all, look. look. Y'all got to get with me today. I know that our hearts are heavy, and I know that we're sad in some aspects, but we're gonna give God glory anyhow. Amen. In spite of all this, personally, I can stand behind this sacred desk, and I can boldly proclaim without hesitation that the Lord is my personal Jesus. Is that anybody's testimony? Or do I have to preach to myself? See, your pastor, you have to understand that I'm glad that I have a Lord that is personal. I'm glad that I have a Jesus that loves me. I'm glad that I know him, and I'm glad that he knows me. See, the Lord looks after my person. The Lord looks after me as an individual. The Lord watches over me, and he takes care of me, and he leads me, and he guides me, and he protects me. And understand, he does the same thing for you. And just like the gospel artist formerly known as Tone, you can declare without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord is your personal Jesus. Can I get a witness, anybody? If you're glad he knows you, just give him praise right now. If you're glad he knows you, just give him praise. I ask you, because that's a rhetorical question that demands an answer. Amen. Is there anyone that doesn't mind not waiting until hardship comes to tell God thank you? Is there anybody that doesn't mind waiting to praise him in the midst of the storm rather than when the storm is over? Amen. Because when the storm is over, all you need to do is tell God thank you. But see, you need to praise him while the storm is going on. So when the storm is over, all you have to do is just wave your hand and tell him thank you. See, he takes care of our mind. He takes care of our body. He takes care of our spirit and our soul. He takes care of our dreams, Sister Lawson. When it doesn't look like it makes any sense, that's when you know God is really moving. Because he's God. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. And he's all powerful. To declare he's personal means you understand and have come to the realization that the Lord has an intimate knowledge of who you are. Yes. He knows you. He knows me. He's not superficial. He's not looking at what we're wearing and what we're doing in certain things for people to see. He looks at us who we are when we look at ourselves for real. Amen. Not what the outside world sees. But you know, when we get up in the morning, we don't look like this, do we? Come on, when we get up, we don't look like this, do we? We get up and we've got to tuck stuff in and pull some stuff out. Some of us got to put teeth in, and some of us got to put hair on. We don't look like this when we wake up in the morning, and God knows us who we really are, and he still loves us. The personalization of Jesus means you value your relationship with the Lord over everything and anyone else. When folks come and they talk to you and they talk about you or they talk about somebody else to you, you have to understand that your relationship with the Lord is paramount, and that comes first. Sometimes we've got to learn to put the phone down. Amen. Sometimes we've got to learn not to respond to a text message. Amen. Sometimes we have to understand that the Lord is simply the Lord, and he said you ought to be holy because I'm holy. So sometimes we just got to be quiet and move on. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And this is where we find ourselves in the text today, exploring one man's personal relationship with God. According to Bible scholars and researchers, the writer of this psalm is David. And in this text, we are allowed the privilege to kind of eavesdrop on a very personal, a very revealing conversation between a man and his God. Stay with me. In preparing for today, I realized in my studies that Psalm is a conversation. It is a conversation, and it is a prayer at the same time. Powerful, loving words of adoration and praise to God from a grateful worshiper who wants his God to know just how much and how grateful he is to be intimately known by him. And David, in these 18 verses, he recounts, he reflects, and he recapitulates. He lays out and he looks at who God is to him, how God has made a way for him, and the wonderful things that God has done for him. So therefore, after thinking and pondering and reflecting and contemplating on his own life in view of God's goodness, grace, and mercy, we, the 21st century postmodern Christian, have a bold benefit that we can get from reading the 139th Psalm. I love the book of Psalms. It's one of my favorite books from which to preach. Amen, somebody. Because it teaches us about worship. It teaches us about praise. It teaches us about faithfulness, the adoration, the power of God in any and all circumstances. The objective of the lesson is to learn that I can, that you can, and that we can all depend on God 24/7. Amen, somebody. Psalm 139 is not only a psalm that makes the dependability of God a foundation in a teachable moment, but all through the book, all through the Psalms, it is laid out how God is faithful and dependable. Amen. You ought to pick up your Bible sometime. If you read Psalm 7, it teaches us to trust God in every situation. Psalm 12 teaches us to pray in tribulation. 22 teaches us to pray for deliverance. 31 teaches us to pray for forgiveness. 41 teaches us to hope when there is no hope. 55 teaches us to pray in danger and in distress. 61 teaches us to encourage ourselves in the Lord when nobody else will do it. 70 teaches us to keep on keeping on when we have specific instructions and it makes no sense to anybody but God. 90 teaches us to rest in the truth that the just shall always live secure. I can, you can, we can all receive specific instructions on how to bless God at all times.
Yes.
We must make up in our minds that we must bless the Lord in persecution.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. We must bless the Lord in our weak moments.
Yes.
We must bless the Lord in the best of times and in the worst of times. We must bless the Lord in victory and in defeat. Can I get a witness? Come on. Is there anybody that can just throw their hands in the air and say, I'm going to bless God even when it doesn't look good? Because everything that doesn't look good, always has. Amen. God is at work. David makes a request in this psalm. He literally seeks to exalt the work of God that was done in his own life. And here it is. This is what David seeks to do. He seeks to reach the ear of God so he can touch the heart of God. And he thinks that if he touches the heart of God, most likely that will move the hand of God.
Yes.
Do you understand that when you talk to God, you're developing a relationship with him? When you develop a relationship with him, you get into someone's heart. When you get into someone's heart and then you have a petition, you can move the hand of that person because they know who you are. David in the psalm becomes a master teacher, and he schools us on what a personal relationship with God can be, how to acknowledge him and honor him for who he is, thank him for what he's done, and he reminds us of how good it is to be known by God. His gratitude doesn't stem from a religious experience. Come on, somebody. It doesn't extend from religious protocol. It wasn't because he was this, that, and the other. It came because he had a personal relationship with a triune God. God was his creator. He recognized him as the sustainer, and he recognized him as a friend. In other words, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. See, restoration, I love this psalm because it doesn't take the skill of a rocket scientist to understand this thing. It doesn't require a master's or a doctorate degree to understand it. No philosophical interpretation is needed to understand that I am fearfully, I am wonderfully, and I'm marvelously made. Young people, when money is funny, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. When I look at myself and I see what may be physically wrong with me, I have to remind myself that I am fearfully and wonderfully and marvelously made. When relationships end, I'm fearfully and wonderfully and marvelously made. When your wife leaves you or your husband step out on you or something crazy, remember you are fearfully, you are wonderfully, and you are marvelously made, and God knows you intimately. Young people, deceitful. You're fearfully, you're wonderfully, and you're marvelously made. Don't let anybody, a teacher, a parent, a co-worker, an enemy, tell you anything other than you are fearfully, you are wonderfully, you are marvelously made. Your brown skin is that way because he made it that way. You look that way because God designed you in your mother's womb. He knew who you were before you came out. And he doesn't make any mistakes. He don't make any jumps. And he made you just how he wants you to be. You look just like he wanted you to look. You're the color that he wanted you to be. High yellow or dark brown. You are fearfully, wonderfully, and marvelously made. God is intentional. Somebody say intentional. There are no mistakes with God. And I've learned that when I can't trace him, he's intentional. When things look bad, I don't stress it. I say God is up to something. I must be in transition for something greater. See, when things look funny, when doors close on your job that you thought that you were secure in, God is just setting you up for something else. Everything that looked bad in bad, God is just preparing you because he already knows who you are. He already knows what you need. And if you walk in him, he will move you to where he has you to go. This song will change your life. It will raise up every hung down head. It should heal every depressed spirit. If you simply realize that God is intentional and he knows you. When I was looking at this, we can use big words, and that doesn't make any sense. We have a thing that we learn in school called hermeneutics, and you're supposed to emphasize this word and that word, and really, what you can do is, if I can be hermeneutically correct and give you a modern day interpretation of David's words from this text, David is saying God's put his hand of protection around me a long time ago. I was put out by my family. I was sent to the backside of a mountain, to a field, to tend sheep. But see, what they didn't recognize is what they considered the worst thing turned out to be the best thing that could have ever happened to David. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that can say what the devil meant for evil, God turned it around for my good? Is that anybody's testimony? Come on. When he left you or she left you, and you thought that was the worst thing that ever happened in your life, God was just making room for what he had already had for you. What looked bad was really the best thing that ever happened to you. See, David has a backstory. And David's telling us on the backside of the mountain, when they sent him there, they thought they were getting rid of him. But at the backside of the mountain is when he really had time. You know, he had time to get to know God and understand that God knows him. On the backside of the mountain, David would tell us that I learned how to kill lions and a bear. It was on the backside of the mountain that I was being prepared for battle. And eventually I had to slay a giant and cut off his head and take that thing to the king. It was on the backside of the mountain that David had time to write the book of Psalms. He had time to write love songs and prayers and poetry to a God who knew him best. David is saying that the anointing, it didn't find me until I was by myself. See, they sent him by himself to get rid of him, but really they put him there and he was being prepared. See, the oil wouldn't flow when they were looking for a new king, and the oil wouldn't flow until it found David. It wouldn't flow until it found the man who was after God's own heart. Come on, somebody. The oil wouldn't flow down until the anointing found a man who knew how to praise him in good times and in bad times. The oil wouldn't flow until the anointing found a man whose mouth and his motives were filled with these words: the Lord is my shepherd. Come on, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Hallelujah. The oil wouldn't flow until the anointing found a man that came to this conclusion: yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Come on, somebody. You know, you are with me. I fear no evil, for thou art with me. The oil wouldn't flow until the anointing found a man that could accept the bitter with the sweet. Your rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Come on, somebody. The bitter with the sweet. See, you have to understand that's your discipline and your guidance. See, you need both of those things. Amen. And now the anointing can flow. And David said, my head is anointed with oil. And here's the good part. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. We read it all the time and we miss it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. You don't have to chase after it. It will follow you. Come on. He knew how to thank and praise God. David knew how to run and he knew how to dance. He danced right out of his clothes. Amen, somebody. You don't understand what a person goes through in the course of a week. Amen. We don't understand that. I have privilege. I guess it's privilege, but sometimes it seems more than that. But I know a lot of your personal struggles. I know a lot of what y'all go through during the week that you don't tell anybody else. Well, I hear those things in my office. I get them on the phone. I get them in an email. I get them in a text message. That's why I'm very careful when folks start to shout and folks start to give God praise. I look to see who's clapping with you and I look to see who's rolling their eyes, because we don't understand what a person goes through in the course of a week. So we need to have an SOS kind of system. We need to slide over some. Amen. And let them get their praise on, because you don't know what it took them to get into the house. Amen. Stop looking at those cross eyes and just throw up your hand. If you can't praise it, I'm going to do it by myself. And I'm just about finished. And you know, I don't have the eloquence of David, and I don't have a command of the language and writing like he did. I'm not fluent in Hebrew or Greek. I don't have the power and the prestige that my overseer says that he could sing the alphabet and folks would just fall out. But I have the alphabet, amen? 26 letters, and if we apply one of those letters a day with just one word, we can bless the Lord at all times, amen? Let's just walk through it. A, he anointed me. Come on, somebody. B, he blessed me. C, he went to Calvary for me. D, he died for me. E, he empowered me. F, he's been faithful to me. G, he gives me grace. H, he healed my body. I, he invited me to come in where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. J, he justified me. And he loves me, and he moved me to higher elevations, and he's never left me alone. Oh, he opened doors that no man could shut. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He blesses me right in front of those who wish to see me fall down. He quiets my spirit, and all he restores my soul. S, he shed his blood. T, he transforms me. U, he understands. D, he gives me the ultimate victory. W, he washed away my sin. X, he removed the X factor from my life. Why? Because he's just good like that. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And I got down to C, and I couldn't think of a word that made any sense. So I went back into the New Testament, and it says that you want to be able to call on those that have a testimony. So I said to myself, is there anybody in the Bible with a Z that had a testimony? And I came up with these couple of quotes. God is good. If you ask Zechariah, he'll tell you God is good. If you ask Zephaniah, they'll tell you God is good. If you ask Zephaniah, they'll tell you God is good. If you ask Zerubbabel, there's a testimony there. I'm so glad, hallelujah, that the Lord knows me. I'm so glad that the Lord heals me. I'm so glad that the Lord saves me. I'm so glad that he gave me victory. I'm glad that he understands. I'm glad that he knows. I'm glad that he cares. I'm glad that he came. I'm glad that he bled. I'm glad that he died. And I'm glad, hallelujah, that on that third Sunday morning, that I know you before you were formed, and you are perfect, you are wonderful, and you are marvelous. Shout hallelujah! Shout hallelujah! I declare the Lord knows you. Say amen, somebody. I'm glad that the Lord knows you. You need,
yes.
Who you need,
yes.
And where you need to be.
Yes.
And if you think that that's not the way it should be, that's how you know God is working.
Yes.
If it made sense, God wouldn't be God now, would he? He tell you, leave your job and get a sewing machine if you don't know how to sew. And now you have to turn people away.
Yes.
He told me, open up a minority funeral home. With no money. And now there's bodies everywhere. Sometimes we have to turn folks away. When it doesn't make sense, God is at work.
Yes.
And if you trust him and you never doubt, he'll surely bring you out. Amen.
Yes.
Amen, somebody. Are you glad that the Lord knows you? Can you put your hands together and just tell God I'm thankful for you? Can you just tell God I'm thankful for you? Amen. Amen. The doors of the house are open. As we stand to our feet, every head bowed.